With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Stafford rolling and throwing. Caught, caught, touchdown. Pass. Got it! Touchdown!
In a pressure situation, I don't know if I have ever seen anybody be better than Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp.
Well, speaking of a dynamic duo, time to give you our version. The next episode, if you will. Donovan Bailey running things alongside Jason Portwando. DB, always great to see you. And we're talking some football off the top.
Great to see you, man. And we're talking, I mean, in this, it's minus 45 outside, by the way, people.
It's, it's like, only 42.
I'm joking about the actual temperature, but it is cold. But it is, I think it warms us to watch such an incredible game on the weekend, man.
Oh, man. I mean, we're going to talk halftime show in a bit because that might have been the better show.
It definitely was the better show.
Cooper Kupp, you know, you win the triple crown in terms of wide receivers, the most catches, the most receiving yards, the most catching touchdowns. This guy may not be the flashiest. He may not be the fastest. But, man, to me, he is the most effective wide receiver in football. Was it the right decision for him to be MVP?
So a couple of things.
Okay.
The way the game started, and I'm very certain that you and I watched the same game. The way the game started, I thought that Odell Beckham Jr. was gonna play a significant role in this game. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, I know his mother, and he's from a track background. So I was really supporting the Rams and him because I got some connections there. Based upon the game that I saw and the fact that Stafford and Kupp kind of took over, you know, I think that people are always going to talk about the offense and talk about how a victory is gotten based upon what they see. For that alone, he deserved the MVP.
All right. All right. I thought you were going to where I'm going to go right now.
No, but I know where you're going to go.
Kupp is a stud. Don't get me wrong. A month ago, if you were to ask me who the best wide out in football, hands down, I would have said Devontae Adams of Green Bay.
Right.
But Cooper Kupp, I got to give it up. Okay. But
he's carried his team. Jason.
Yes. That guy wearing 99.
Yeah.
Football's version of the great one.
Yeah.
To me, Aaron Donald, what he did single-handedly, he was double-teamed, he was triple-teamed. That last series, stopping the third and one run.
He won the game
for And him. Then rushing and getting to Burrow, making him rush that throw. At least, at the very least, in my opinion, should have been co-MVPs, Donald and Kupp.
Well, and like I said, obviously I'm splitting hairs. Mm-hmm, one, defense won that game. Let's just get that. Defense.
I agree.
Won the game. And Aaron, man, he played a man's game and he actually made you know, the line looked like, you know, it looked like he was playing with boys, you know, after a while. And yes, so I agree with you. I think that there should have been, co-MVP. And Aaron deserved it because he's obviously been at it for a while. And this is, you know, man, I mean, I think that was so happy for him when I was watching the game. And after the last play, he pointed to his ring finger. And I'm like, yeah, yeah. He played his heart out. And so for sure, he deserves something. Maybe Cooper can give him the truck, something.
You know what's funny? I love posing this question to athletes. If you could get one ring in your lifetime, which one is more important? Wedding ring or championship ring? You would believe. It's not even close. It's not even close for athletes. So they all want the championship.
So why are you going to ask me?
I'm not asking you. Okay, good. I wouldn't put you in that spot. Yeah, good. I would never put you on the hot
seat. I got a few championship rings. It's all really good. I'll take another championship ring too.
Oh, man, I tell you. We didn't even talk about the suffering. We'll leave that for another time. But yeah, no, just going back to the game overall, I thought it was okay. Had a bit of a lull there where, you know, the defense took over. But all in all, this was by far, in my opinion, the best postseason in the NFL ever. I haven't watched them all, obviously.
Yeah. But, man. Yeah, I think there's one of the things that I loved about this season, I mean, the NFL has gotten black eye over the years. I've said this before. They've gotten black eye. They've certainly had to deal with marketing issues, hiring issues, all kinds of issues, and you know, abuse, players abusing their spouses, all kinds of drugs, people shooting each other. But I gotta tell you, postseason this year, all the fans that you lost over the years because of all of those things that you did, you got them all back in droves because the games were so incredible. The product on the field was so incredible. And yeah, man, I loved what happened NFL season. And again, even the finals. Even the finals. I mean, you know, I thought I was praying for not a blowout, right?
Yeah.
You know, and it ended up being a good game. It ended up being a last possession game again. So in line with all of the games that were played this postseason, it finished the season that way, and it was incredible.
Joe Burrow, if you're listening, and I know you are, you need some new security because brother got sacked 70 times this year, 51 in the regular season, 19 more times in the postseason. If he were to have won the Super Bowl, that would have been a record. He got dropped at, I can't even keep count, at least 8 times.
Well, he got, I mean, for him to get an NFL record, I'm sorry, a Super Bowl record amount of sack. I think he's got a, I don't know what the court, I mean, I know that when you win the Super Bowl, you usually buy all the guys on a line of Rolex. I don't know what you're going to buy that those guys, man. I mean,
something battery operated.
Well, solar operated.
Exactly. Like. I ain't buying you no watches. Like, man, oh, man. But, yeah, all in all, great game. And Matthew Stafford, feel good for him, too, after all that futility in Detroit. You know, goes to L.A. first year. And that's not easy to do, you know, become a first-year quarterback on a team. Not just first-year overall, but with that team, your first year, and you get it done. So,
yeah, I got to jump in here for a second. Mm-hmm. You know what I loved about, you know, you talk about athletes in class. And one of the things that I read and saw was Stafford reaching out to all his Detroit fans and say,
pretty cool.
This is for you also.
Yeah.
And I thought that, I mean, just for an athlete achieving his highest achievement in his sport and still not forgetting exactly where he came from. So, again, congratulations to him, and that's awesome.
100%. And by the way, last thing, Cooper Kupp, I know he did a lot of great things this year with, obviously, Matthew Stafford. He did a lot of great things with Jared Goff, too. So, you know, Cooper Kupp, I don't care who's throwing on the ball, the man is just unreal. So, the game was great, but perhaps the better show was at halftime. It's the one and only Diego Double G. Scoop Dog!
Come on, baby, just party with me. Then this will set your body free.
It was lit. And I love it because a lot of the kids were like, what is this? And all the parents are going at it going, yeah, this is it. This is it. I'm going to say this was the best halftime show ever. I'm not going to disrespect the others. Wow. I'm saying ever.
Wow.
It had the perfect mix. You heard the voices of Dre and Snoop and Mary, but you throw in Kendrick, Eminem. We'll talk more about the knee in a second. To me, this was it.
Okay, I'm going to differ.
Can you give me a better one?
I believe that Prince played a half.
That was good. And so was Shakira and J-Lo. I mean, that was something.
Did Michael Jackson ever play?
Muy bien. I don't know.
No. Okay,
I don't care. This was the best.
So I'm going to go. So I'm going to agree with you, but with a caveat.
Okay.
In recent memory, especially for you kids out there who don't really understand how your parents or how the older folks used to rock it, in recent memory, this is by far the best halftime show. By far. I mean, in recent memory. I mean, I was privileged to see both Michael Jackson and Prince in concert. So I'm saying to you that I understand what it's like to be live for both of those incredible artists. But watching this, honoring hip hop, from Jay-Z putting together.
They even slid in a little Fetty.
Yeah. Well, apparently 75 now because he was, his wife Beater had three wives in it.
Yeah. That's okay. He's ripped. As 18 pack.
Right. No, but this is by far, I'm with you. In recent memory, this is by far one of the incredible halftime shows ever. And every person probably north of 30 or 40 or whatever was rocking out. And all you kids out there, yeah, that's how we do it. That's exactly how we do it. I mean, it's not trap music. This is how you jump off the couch and you let it rock. This is what happened, man. And again, in line with the season, Jason, ending up the year with that kind of game, and probably in recent memories, like my caveat, in recent memories, the best halftime show ever. It's incredible.
Oh, man, oh, man. I didn't want it to end. It was only about 20 minutes.
Right.
Didn't want it to end.
Yeah.
But
you know what I thought? I thought that what should have happened was the game should have played, the halftime show should have been like an appetizer.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the game was over, a full concert for 2 hours. Wouldn't that have been better?
Maybe on the West Coast, but that's a little late for those of us on the East Coast.
I'd have stayed up.
You would have stayed up?
I'd have stayed up.
I would have caught the highlights in the morning.
Yeah, I'd have stayed up.
Wow, that was phenomenal. So kind of bittersweet. That's it for football now for 7 months. It's going to be a long time, but then it opens things up for other sports.
Right.
So we look forward to that. Speaking of other sports, we've got to talk some Olympics as we transition on this edition of Donovan Bailey Running Things, DB alongside JP, Jason Portwando, this and every show powered by Acast. Norway, yes, you're hearing me right. Norway at the top of the medal table with 26, 12 of which are of the gold variety. But I want to talk U.S. I don't want to talk something that we've never seen before, and it's courtesy of Aaron Jackson.
Here comes Aaron Jackson to the line. Can she take the lead? Erin Jackson of the United States has taken the lead. She's gone to the gold medal position with a time of 37.04.
And she wouldn't give it up. Congratulations. She wins the women's 500-meter final in Beijing. What's the big deal? It's a black lady on ice.
Wow. Welcome to Black History Month.
Wow.
Welcome to the continuation.
Who said we can't skate?
Well, listen.
Can you skate, by the way?
I can. Okay. I can. All Actually, right. It's funny enough that the sprint, this is the sprint. And I mean, and I think that sometimes when you're watching the Winter Olympics, you kind of go, where are all the athletes that you'd see in the summertime?
Right.
Notably, athletes that do track or do some sort of power speed. And when I look at this, I think about opportunity. And it's clear that, you know, for those of you who didn't know who Erin was, you now will know she's the gold medalist and she's a sprinter. And so what I love about this is that it opens the door for all those kids who, you know, maybe a sprinter, maybe someone who goes and runs track, and maybe they're 10th or 15th or 20th in the world. The same way that you see track athletes gravitate from the track, who can't, the number one guys, the guys that are not in the top, those guys are gravitate to the bobsled. You're going to see a lot more people gravitate to that fast twitch muscle, power, speed. That's incredible. But I have to tell you, Jason, I would be remiss if I didn't speak about how Aaron got there and how incredible, you know, good teammates are.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lady named Brittany Rowe, I think her name is. She's the 1,000. I think she's the number one in the world, the 1,000. And in the 1500 meter sprints. These are all sprints, by the way, because you're on skates. And Aaron had made a mistake at her Olympic trials in the US. And I think that Brittany, who was ranked number 10 in the 500 meters, okay, and Aaron, who was ranked number one, but made a mistake, Brittany gave up her spot. And to me, that's probably one of the most selfless things I've ever seen. And Brittany deserves a ton of credit for contributing to Aaron being a trailblazer in sport, a trailblazer in society, a trailblazer in culture. So Brittany, thank you, because you now will, first of all, I hope that you go and you win your race. So you can celebrate with your girl, Aaron Jackson, with your girl. She already has gold. You will get yours. And you now have a million new fans for being such an incredible sportswoman.
Aaron Jackson of the United States becoming the first black woman to win gold in speed skating. Did so over 500 meters, as talked about.
Yeah.
She's the number one ranked speed skater in the world.
Yes, sir.
In the world.
Yeah.
On the planet. Now, in case you're wondering, the last American female speed skater to win gold in the 500 was Bonnie Blair.
Bonnie, yeah.
And she did it a bunch of times back through the late 80s, early to mid 90s. But what a story. So it just goes to show you things are happening in places you'd never expect. Years ago, it was a Jamaican bobsled team.
Yeah.
And we got to shout out Benjamin Alexander, a 38-year-old from Jamaica.
Right.
The first Jamaican to compete in downhill alpine skiing.
Did you see it? Did you see the race? Well, yeah, we're not ready. We're not ready to compete for the top yet, but it was good that we got down
there. He's in the field. He's in the lineup. You know, and the cool story, he was at a previous Olympics just working.
Yeah.
And he was like, I'm going to try this thing. So he's 38.
Listen, but again, Jason, people that are out there who has, aspirations to do things. We spoke earlier about football.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Cup was not drafted, didn't get scholarships, didn't do all those things. Now he's a Super Bowl winner. Aaron is the same way.
Yep.
And now you have Jamaicans, you know, downhill skiing. So, I mean, wherever you are, kids, and whatever you're doing, whatever your dreams might be, don't let anyone stand in your way.
100%. Those are some great words. Jackson, by the way, the 29-year-old, she joins fellow American Shawnee Davis as the only black athletes to win an Olympic medal.
Shawnee's an excellent athlete.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And paving the way. So, yeah, great stuff there. So, not everything, though, rosy for the Americans at these Olympic Games. We have to talk about what went on with Russian skater Kamila Valieva, a 15-year-old who tested positive for a banned substance. And she's still competing. And then you have Sha'Carri Richardson, who was banned from the Summer Games in Tokyo after testing positive for marijuana.
I think that Sha'Carri has an incredible right to be pissed off in this situation. I think that it is incredible that I have to tell you, I mean, When Sha'Carri tested positive, she knew she did something wrong. She embraced it immediately, and she took her licks. She said, hey, listen, here, my mother passed away, didn't like the news, knew that I couldn't smoke marijuana. That's the only option that I had. I did it. Please, you know, do with it what you will. You know, what's my penalty? Okay, you're going to suspend me? No problem. Okay? When you sign up to the Olympic Games, you know, every single athlete, whether minor or not, is responsible for everything that goes in their body. So whether or not it's your grandpa's medication,
mm-hmm.
which is not, we already know that, or marijuana, unfortunately, the penalty should be paid. And Sha'Carri has a right to be pissed off. But more importantly, I'm looking at this minor child. It's a minor child, Russian figure skater. I mean, the last time there was a figure skating scandal was, Tanya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan, which is you know, what's that? A knee gate. But it's incredible that you have a minor child that's surrounded by adults. It's clear that she's getting something from them. But because, I mean, I didn't even know this until, you know, I went down, did more research on this. As a minor child, there's different rules from WADA for some reason, which is crazy. Because the thing is, if you're old enough and good enough to be part of, the hierarchy of any sport, then you are responsible, or the people around you should be responsible. So, to that minor child, you are a victim also. However, because of what the people did around you, you unfortunately don't deserve to be competing at the Olympic Games right now. You're taking away the position from someone else who's worked very hard. For those people that have that surround this minor child,
mm-hmm.
all of them should be suspended. All of them. Whatever doctor, whatever coach, whatever administrator, none of you should be allowed. At least there should be some penalty. So yes, Sha'Carri Richards have all the reasons in the world to be upset at this, and this minor child is being used. So Camila is obviously being used, and I don't understand how it is that the people surrounding her don't really understand that right now she's become a spectacle, and it's gonna weigh on her no matter what happens. Later on in life, because you know, this is not good, and I know this is something that, you know, again, she's young, but she doesn't deserve this either.
Trimetazidine, in case you're wondering, is a banned substance. It's heart medication,
right?
So obviously increases flow to the heart, increases your endurance, obviously helps with performance. So I totally get Sha'Carri's point of view here. She's saying, you know, my mom passed, I was upset. Right, okay, right. I took a banned substance.
Yeah.
It's not a performance-enhancing substance. Banned is banned. Wrong is wrong. Right. I get you.
Right.
But I totally understand where she's coming from. She's like, this won't make me any faster. This won't increase my performance. I'm not allowed to compete. This younger girl is. You brought up the valid points in terms of the age and whatever else.
Right.
But, this just doesn't sit right.
Well, my line, I mean, because I've dealt, first of all, I have a disdain for athletes who cheat, mm-hmm. Like, obviously, if you can make a mistake, I get that. But even if you make a mistake, then you still have to pay the penalty. I mean, I think that it's what Sha'Carri's point is, and what my point is, I mean, I'll second her point, is that if you do something and it's found that you're guilty of it, then you should be penalized for it. And I, as an athlete who competed against athletes who were doped, who had to deal with, stories and all kinds of people, that were doing all kinds of drugs, and I had to answer their questions, which made me pissed off every day.
right.
I'm certain that the line is drawn in the sand when you sign up for the games. And maybe I'm one of those altruistic people where I think that, we all work hard and we're all drug free and it's all a level playing field and we're going to go out there and be, and the best wins. I believe that, I don't believe that this young figure skater should be still competing. And I will side with Sha'Carri Richardson because, again, as a woman, as a young woman, she took her licks. She knew what she did, and she, you know, she went, served her time, came back, and hopefully be doing some great things on the track.
Fair enough. Now let's quickly backtrack because I never did get your take on the Eminem thing. So let's just quickly go back to that when he took the knee.
You know what? I guess we should have discussed that.
Yeah.
That's something that's pretty important.
Mm-hmm.
I love the fact that Eminem still is sticking to his guns. I mean, I think that obviously we're enjoying the football game. And maybe, Jason, I didn't want to, you know, we're having such a good time discussing such a good game and such a good halftime show. I want to make sure that it's not like a sad moment, but I want to make sure that people still understand that because of Colin Kaepernick, which I thought that it would have been incredible if he was brought out during the middle of the halftime game. I thought he would have, just a wave. I thought that would have been something incredible for the game, incredible for the NFL, great for media. But what Eminem did was remind us all that Colin Kaepernick started a protest, and that protest was about police brutality towards young black men or racialized community in the States. And so, yes, I loved what he did. I'm very certain it was very self-explanatory when he was standing there and Snoop and Dre were performing. So amidst it all, when we're enjoying the game, we're enjoying, you know, again, the best halftime show in recent memories. Let's.
You can just lose the recent memory part. You can just.
I'm telling you, man. Let it go, DB.
It's the best ever.
It's a recent memory thing. But I'm saying to you, in light of all that happening,
right?
In light of the fun that we're having, I'm very happy that Eminem kept it real, mm-hmm. as Dave Chappelle used to say, kept it real. By reminding us, nice and subtle. There was never a need for anything. There's no explanation needed. It was nice and subtle where Eminem took a knee, understanding that this is still continuing and this protest will continue.
Just the way it should. And his support of Kaepernick, of course, protesting against police brutality, racial discrimination. And
right.
Eminem was warned not to do it. And he still said, I don't care. That's this is not the first time. I remember the 2017 BET Award did the exact same thing, right? So he's making a statement on the biggest stage, pardon the pun, you know.
Well, it is.
Exactly, it is. In the NFL. So you know what? I love the fact that he still brought a dose of reality mm-hmm. to what was a nice escape from it with that performance by those 5/6 of them out there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, amidst it all, like I said, amidst the fun and the games and the mm-hmm. party we're having, yeah, he kept it real. Kept it real for all of us. All of us. So I mean, and as long as it wasn't in your face, so you knew exactly what
very
was
subtle.
Going on.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah, very very subtle. All right, now we can move on. Getting back to the Olympics because Kaylee Humphries. Let's talk more about gender balance, equality. They've never had this event before. It's called a monobob. So we have sledding. We got the two-person, the four-person.
Right.
This is a one-person event. You're doing the steering. You're doing the pushing of the sled, the braking.
Everything.
Sled, right? Kaylee Humphries wins the first ever gold medal in the debut of this event. History.
Right.
But the backstory is she has won medals previously at Olympics for Canada.
All the medals before.
She's now an American athlete. And this was quite the push to get everything in line for her to compete as an American. Now, this isn't the first time we've seen an athlete, you know, cross borders, so to speak, and, you know, compete for one and then another. But this is such an interesting, you know, turn of events, if you will.
Well, the Kaylee Humphries situation is an interesting dynamic. I mean, unfortunately, you know, she's not competing for Canada anymore, but I can understand exactly where she's coming from. Kaylee was here, competed for Canada.
Is that a slap in the face to Canada, by the way?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I don't think so because I think that Canadians were still cheering for her. Her fans will never leave. And that's the great thing about sports is that your fans never leave. I mean, and unfortunately, sometimes you have idiot administrators that kind of get in your way because they seem to believe that they can control you. Kaylee did not felt that she did not get the support that she needed. She felt that there's some things that were happening in the organization that didn't align with her. Her husband is American. She was training in America. I mean, Kaylee does a lot of training with my boy Stu, and she does a lot of track training, so I know her, and I also know her workouts. And she just felt that, time had expired, and certainly being married to an American, still being young, still being very competitive, still being at the top of her game, that America was the position where she wanted to be. And you know what? Good on her, man. I support her. I definitely support her. She's someone that's been a fierce competitor for Canada. And now she's just a fierce competitor for the U.S. But at the end of the day, you know, myself as a world champion, Olympic champion, world record holder, I mean, I only always want to see the very best that people bring. And Kaylee brought it for Canada. So when she went to the States, you can't expect her not to bring it. So the monobob, the new event, she's really like cut out for this event, man. Kaylee's a strong, powerful woman. Definitely can push the sled, and we all know that she can drive. You know, so the monobob was built for her. I mean, when you watch her actual event, I think that she won the event by like the lot by the widest margin ever for an Olympic gold.
Oh, make no mistake, she is an amazing athlete. But the rub for me, you're Canadian.
Nah,
you're not gonna go push a sled for Russia or for Poland. You're going directly across the border to our arch enemy, so to speak. I know we're allies. I get it. But I'm saying, back in the day, you ran for Canada, right?
I had options, though.
You had options of Jamaica, England, UK.
Turkey.
Okay.
Yeah.
Those are all fine.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if you left Canada to go run for the United States, the backlash you would have received?
I don't know about that. I probably got a backlash and $100 million check, so I'd have been all right.
Well, good for you. Good for you. But I'm just saying, the rub for me is that Kaylee leaves the United States to go and compete for the U.S. And I get it, her husband and everything else. I understand what you're saying, but to me, that's kind of a backhanded, you know.
I get what you might be.
Go anywhere upset. Else. You can't go next door.
No. Kaylee found the greatest options. And at the end of the day, as an athlete, she's an individual athlete, Jason. So at the end of the day, she's going to find her best options. I mean, I had better options, you know, like I shouldn't say that. I had great options as an individual athlete competing for this country. But I just think that track was the things that I wanted to do was far bigger than just track for me. There was so much that was happening in this country historically. I wanted to make changes. Kaylee, on the other hand, she's just continuing her own legacy. It's just a different country.
Let me drop this on you, then we can wrap it. Usain Bolt. Jamaican.
Right.
Donovan Bailey, Jamaican descent.
Right.
How would you feel if Usain, in the prime of his career, said, I'm going to go run for Trinidad. I'm going to go run for Barbados. I'm going to go run for Guyana, St. Kitts. I don't care which one. How would that make you feel?
That's not even my story, bro.
You can't answer the question.
Because Usain is going to run
for Trinidad. But how would it make you feel if he did?
I'm just saying to you that, listen, before me, the Olympic champion before me was a guy named Linford Christie, born in Kingston, Jamaica. Representing the UK.
No, but that's okay. He didn't switch. He started there.
Yeah, but he was born in Jamaica.
That's fine.
So was I, right?
Right. But I'm saying, how would you feel if Usain all of a sudden left his green, gold, and black for like blue and yellow of Barbados?
Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Even a better question.
Okay.
What if I had just, before Usain, clearly, what if I had just ran for Jamaica?
But that's fine.
Okay.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Okay.
You are Jamaican.
Right.
I don't care where you go.
Oh, so you're talking about...
I don't like the switch. That's what bothers me.
Okay.
That's what bothers me. Right. And if Usain left Jamaica to go run for another island, Jamaica would be in an uproar. That's all I'm saying.
For a minute. Jamaica would be in an uproar for a minute until they start winning. The amazing thing about Jamaica is that we're extremely patriotic to winners. So I said, yeah, man, him win. Yeah, him come from, you know. right?
Exactly. But then if you have to change your accent and all of a sudden you go beige and talk about Ephraim Fisher and thing like that, that all of a sudden, you know, you look at it differently.
I'm not going to get all into right, the accents
let's just,
of the islands.
Let's just leave it. Let's just leave it. All right. On the way out, we go track and field.
Yeah.
I mean, things continue to heat up. Noah Lyles, I saw him put up a PB the other day.
Right.
6.56, I think it was, wherever he was competing. But the biggest track and field news of the week has to be the retirement of Justin Gatlin. This man, 19 years. We're not talking like Tom Brady sitting in the pocket throwing a football. We're talking about a single sport.
Individual athlete.
Exactly.
Right.
That's what I like to call my single sports. And everything that he has accomplished, world championships, Olympic gold medals, it goes on and on and on. Whether you like him or not, you got to give him credit.
Yeah, you know what? Much respect to Justin Gatlin. I mean, he did take an 8-year vacation trying to make the NFL.
Unbelievable.
Obviously, we know that he's involved in you know a couple of PED stories.
Right.
But more importantly, I think Justin came back. He redeemed himself. He followed the rules. He ran amazing. He's one of the guys that was challenging the great Usain Bolt,
and he beat him.
In every competition, you knew that Justin brought it, and mm-hmm. kudos to him, man. I mean, obviously he's certainly one of the greatest sprinters that ever lived. I mean, amidst his story and his legacy, good or bad, he's someone who brought it, and he's someone who finished his track career the exact way that he should have. And it's the right way. He came in, abide by all the rules that was set forth in front of him, competed for the U.S. against the world. Speaking of, competing for the U.S. and bringing it every time, Justin was one of those guys. And he represented U.S. well, man. And all in all, a good dude.
Oh, and I get it. You said it. It's not like the reputation was squeaky clean.
Right.
I'm not saying it was a polished crown he wore on his head. There were some nicks. There were some blemishes.
Right.
But the longevity. You talked about the massive break. I don't care what the sport is. You take that long of a hiatus,
yeah,
you can come back and still get to the top of your game.
Yeah.
The way he did it, I mean, how many years were you all together, would you say?
I was 10 years. I was 10 years.
A long time.
10 years, my last 3 years, major injuries. But I'm saying to you that what he did, I mean, man, I mean, he had some Tom Brady-like career. You know, I think Usain was 10 years also, right? I think he was.
If not longer, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm saying that Justin Gatlin, mm-hmm. Amidst it all the highs, all the lows, incredible athlete, brought it every time, has some records to his name that's still on the books. Much respect, man. Good youth.
Yeah, that was something else. So I know people are going to be saying, what are these guys talking about? He did this, he did that.
Absolutely.
I get it.
Absolutely.
Valid points.
Absolutely.
But
he also
did this and that and that and this over 19 years.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
all I gotta say. 19
yeah.
years.
It's not our responsibility to determine whether or not a guy should compete. World Athletic Doping Association. The International Olympic Committee, IAAF, all that stuff. Yeah, Justin did it. He did it all. And I guess like Frank Sinatra said, he did it my way. So he did it his way. And for that. Congratulations, Justin, on an incredible career from one champ to another. I'm very certain that there's I know you got some good people around you that you will sail off and continue to do incredible things off the track, and also continue to be an incredible ambassador for track and field. So man, kudos, man.
That puts a wrap on this edition of Running Things with Donovan Bailey. Coming up next episode, we'll talk more Olympics. We'll touch on transgender in the NCAA.
Absolutely. I think I'm looking forward to that.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to that.
Bit of a tease.
Yes, yes.
Bit of a tease. So we'll have that and lots more. Any closing comments?
The weather needs to get better soon, and stay safe until next week.
All right. The defense rests, something it can't do. And Matthew Stafford is on the field, the Super Bowl champion, Matthew Stafford. Donovan running things, and I'm just sitting here beside him, keeping him company.
It's my boy, man.
Broadcast brought to you by Acast. As always, thanks to the company. We'll see you again next time.